This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It's okay. Come on. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing? Are you at 50%, 80%, 100%? 100%, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I must say that we are quite impressed at the way the masjid has come and made such a big effort to block out the light and the numbers that are here. I know it's Ramadan, it's tiring, it's difficult. May Allah accept from us what we've done so far. May Allah grant us to increase in the what remains of Ramadan. Between us and Jannah are just these 3 weeks. 3 weeks. If we work very hard these 3 weeks and we get the full barakah of it, inshallah, we can go to Jannah. Amen. And that's really what Allah has put between us and Jannah. Ameen. So this presentation, inshallah, the journey through the heavens and beyond, ideally, it's a different way of looking at the Isra and the Mi'raj. Now, I know I'm getting my seasons mixed up. It's Ramadan. Why are we talking about Mi'raj? But it's talking about the greatness of Allah and our relationship and closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'd like to take you through this journey. That if you were to travel on the exact same journey as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you got a ticket to go with him on the Isra and the Mi'raj, what would you see along the way? And that's inshallah what we're going to do today. So falyatafaddal, let's begin our presentation inshallah. As you all know, I'm sure when you did with Sheikh Mi'raj, Sheikh explained to you the Mi'raj happened at a time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was going through the worst year of his life. He lost Abu Talib, who was the closest person and protector who raised him. It was like he lost his father. And Abu Talib, not only did he die, but he died on kufr. The Prophet ﷺ could not save him from disbelief. And this obviously made the Nabi ﷺ feel extremely, extremely heartbroken and devastated. He also lost a week later Khadija radiallahu anha, the soulmate of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And throughout his life, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would feel sad when he would think of Khadija. You know, Khadija radiallahu anha, she had a sister. And when her sister would walk and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see her footprints in the sand, he would feel sad and say, those feet, those footprints were like Khadija's footprints. I don't know how many of us husbands know the shape and footprint of our wife's feet, right? But this is our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was something in his heart that belonged to Khadija. And when she died, that part always hurt. And in the worst day of his life, what was the worst day of his life? I'm going to give away free Al-Kawthar tickets for us. Right? I'm going to give some prizes. What prizes do we have? We have some Al-Kawthar tickets we'll give away. We'll give away some Bukha treats. I'm also the Imam at Burhanul Islam Masjid, and we do the Bukha treats. Right, so Sheikh of Bukha treats. Right, so we've got some Bukha treats also to give away, inshallah. What was the worst day of the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who knows? Yes. Of one? No, no. Just put your hand up. It's okay. Yes. The day of Taif, mashallah. So this after remind us and we give you your prize. The day of Taif, the day the Prophet ﷺ went to the city Taif. Taif is a little town next to Mecca. Now imagine Nabi ﷺ is giving da'wah to the people of Mecca, calling them for 10 years, more than 10 years. And they reject him, they don't want to listen. So he goes to the city next door. Maybe they will listen. And they treat him even worse. They treat him so bad. And they're about to kill him, stone him to death, that he runs back to Mecca, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, back to Abu Jahl, back to Abu Lahab. See, those people are even worse than Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, basically, what day was the worst day in your life? And he said, the day of Taif. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam felt so bad, so sad, so heartbroken emotionally, personally. He didn't know what to do with the da'wah. His sahaba had no way to go. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would then give Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this amazing gift. So one of the lessons we learn When we go through hardship and difficulty for the sake of Allah, Allah does not ignore us. Allah knows what's happening. And if we have sabr and patience, what Allah gives in return is so much more than the difficulty. So as a gift, Allah gave the Prophet ﷺ this journey. Alright. So the journey, I don't know if we can rewind our minds to the Mi'raj time, that there were two journeys, that this, the Isra and the Mi'raj are two journeys. What's the Isra? The Isra is the domestic flight from Makkah to Palestine, the short journey. The Mi'raj is the big journey from Masjid al-Aqsa all the way up through Sama number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, above the Samawat, to the Arsh, and above the Arsh to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are two journeys, the Isra and the Mi'raj. Isra is the short journey, Makkah to Palestine, and the Mi'raj is the longer journey. And today, inshallah, we will be focusing more on the Mi'raj. The Isra was taken on the Buraq, that horse that doesn't have wings, this thing between a horse and a donkey, which can travel at the speed of light. Do you know the word Buraq, where it comes from? Yakadul Barq. Barq is lightning. So he's called Buraq, because he's as fast as lightning. The Buraq took the Prophet ﷺ from Makkah to Palestine. But even Buraq is not fast enough to go on Mi'raj. Right? So we'll be talking about the Mi'raj. And when we go through this, we're going to do a little bit about astronomy. We're going to go through space. And as we go through the creations of Allah, this ayah must play in your mind. إِنَّ فِي خَلْكِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the changing of the night and the day are signs for those of understanding, are ayat, are things to make us reflect. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. That those who remember Allah standing and sitting and lying, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْكِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they think deeply about the creations of the heavens and the earth. And you must think deeply. When you see some... Today, inshallah, I hope you will see amazing things that will blow your mind. Or you'll say, Subhanallah, I never knew it was that amazing. And when you think of how amazing those things are, you must think, how amazing is the Creator? How amazing is the one who made this? رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. That, oh Allah, you did not create all of these things just for fun, for no use, without any purpose. There must be a reason. سُبْحَانَكَ. Glory and exalted are you. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So save us, Ya Allah, from all the punishments of the fire and all the punishments. Save us from being unmindful of you, O Allah. Right, so let's imagine taking this journey. And I said, imagine, you know, the Prophet ﷺ and Jibreel are going on this journey. And they say, you know what, there's one ticket for someone to go with them. So first thing is, you get your visa, you come to Makkah, you get on the Buraq, and together you travel like the speed of light from Makkah to Palestine. At Palestine, we know the Nabi ﷺ met the Anbiya and made Salah at Masjid al-Aqsa. Then, you have a new journey to go all the way up the Samawat. Now I want us to visualize this journey. And let's start with something very tall. The tallest building in the world is Burj Khalifa in Dubai. Right? This is the tallest building that humanity has made. It's about 800 meters in the sky. It's about the height of Table Mountain. Right? So for us, if you're on top of Table Mountain, it's about the height of this building. So we say, Subhanallah, this is the most advanced, the brightest, the best of brains that humanity can do, is we build a building 800 meters high. It's like standing on the top of Table Mountain. This building and Table Mountain are almost similar in height. And let's keep going up. What else would we see? Now, when you're on top of the Burj Khalifa, you think, wow, I'm on top of the world. But how far is that to Mount Everest? That's Burj Khalifa over there. You see Burj Khalifa, 800 meters up. But if you wanted to go further and further and further up, and the highest point on earth is Mount Everest. How high is Mount Everest? About 8.6 kilometers up, meaning 11 Table Mountains put on top of one another, 11 Burj Khalifa stacked on one another, is the tallest mountain or the tallest point on earth. There's actually a bigger mountain than Mount Everest, but it's under the ocean. There's a mountain bigger than Mount Everest, about 11 kilometers big, but it's inside under the ocean. We only see the top of it. So if you're on top of Mount Everest, almost 9 kilometers in the sky, you might think, wow, I'm really high up. That if I can just jump high enough, I can touch the Arsh of Allah, right? That's how high I am. Right. So now you're on top of Mount Everest and you think, okay, look how small Burj Khalifa is compared to what Allah has built on this earth. How much higher must I go if I want to get to the moon? Right, I've gone 9 kilometers up in the sky. I want to go further and further up and I want to get to the moon. Right. Here's Mount Everest again. And that's the rest of the sky. So when you look up at the sky and you see that moon, this is where planes fly. Now I, as a sheikh mentioned, I studied accounting, not geography. So a lot of these things are new to me, you know, the mesosphere and the stratosphere. I'm sure some of you might even know better than me. But basically, if you on top of Mount Everest, which we said is how high? How high is Mount Everest? 8 kilometers, let's say 9 kilometers up. If you wanted to go further up and leave the earth, how much higher is the sky? You need to go about 100 kilometers up. 100 kilometers up. Planes fly at about, if you, any of you were in a plane, you're flying basically at the height of Mount Everest. So when you're in a plane, that's about how high Mount Everest is. You still got another 80 kilometers to go before you become an astronaut, before you leave the earth. So between us and the end of our earth, 100 kilometers up in the sky. Subhanallah. Makes you realize how big this earth is, how amazing is this earth. And once you go further and further up, you leave the earth, this is what you see, our home. It's almost 7 billion people. Countries and cities, buildings, waterfalls, mountains, all of that in this amazing place we called earth. And you know, the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever makes 2 raka'ah sunnah fajr, that 2 raka'ah sunnah before fajr, it is more precious to Allah than this world and everything inside it. It's like you're giving all of this in charity, that 2 raka'ah sunnah of fajr. So how much is the fard? How much reward is the fard? And think in your mind, every time I make this 2 raka'ah sunnah, Allah is giving me one of these planets as a reward. And everything it contains of gold and wealth and people, the reward is for you. Subhanallah. Now, I want us to understand, we have left the earth. You are outside the earth. And I need to make an analogy to make you understand the extent of the universe. Okay. We live in a neighborhood. Our planet, the earth, we live, where do you live? What's your planet called? The kids, you must know that. Soon, inshallah, you might have a pen pal on another planet. Then you say, I'm Ahmad. I live in Lotus River in South Africa, in a place called Earth, right? Insha'Allah. So, our planet, the Earth, is part of a neighborhood. And maybe to make you understand this analogy, because our minds will stop working, and I guarantee you, all of us, our minds will eventually stop working. Right, that's my challenge for you. I can't anymore. Right. Imagine you are on a road. You are on the N2. Right, you're driving down or through the N2, and as you pass, you're going to pass different dorpis, yes? Little towns. Some big, some small. And in those dorpis, you have buildings. You have different buildings. Some big, some small. Now, you driving through the universe, you're going to pass our neighborhood, our little dorpis called the solar system, which has 9 buildings inside it. So you're driving past on the N2, you see this dorpi called solar system. You say, okay, let me go, see if there's a KFC. I don't want to make you guys hungry. You turn off, you go inside and you see, there's only 9 buildings in this dorpi. You got this massive big factory, this huge factory. And you've got 8 little buildings around it. One of those buildings is Earth. And what do we think? And the picture's giving it away. But do we think the Earth compared to our neighbors, is one of the bigger buildings or one of the smaller buildings? Think about the people, 7 billion people, all the buildings, all the mountains, everything in our planet, how big it is. Do we think it's one of the bigger buildings in our neighborhood or one of the smaller ones? It's one of the smaller ones. Our neighborhood, we said, is made up of 9 structures. We've got the massive sun. That sun that you see, that we see out, that's the sun. That's the center of our neighborhood, of our solar system. And around it are 8 planets. They are the 8 planets. That's our planet Earth. Look at our neighbors, how big they are. Look how big our planets are, compared, our neighbors compared to us. So if we are in this little dorpy town, Earth is one of the smaller buildings in there. We don't have the big house or the big building. We've got a little tiny house. How big or how small is the Earth? The Earth compared to one of our neighbors, compared to one of us, or compared to the sun. Basically, you could fit 1 million Earths inside the sun. 1 million of us can fit inside that sun that we see in the sky, like a little ball. 1 million Earths can fit inside it. Now you begin to understand, subhanAllah, all the stuff we're fighting for, all that, it's just a million, the sun is a million times bigger. 1 million Earths inside there. You begin to understand the size of the sun. Right? Now, every dorpi, every town, again, we take this journey, so you pulled off. What's our town called? What's the name of our town? Solar system. Right, that's the name of our town, the solar system. Every town you find, every little dorpi will have a big factory called a star. You know the sun is a star. You all know that? Yes. All those little dots in the sky, those are suns. Those are suns. So every little town, every dorpi has a star in the middle. And it has planets around it. We understand our solar system, it's got a sun, 8 planets, one of them is the Earth. And it's one of the smaller planets in the solar system. How many Earths fit in the sun? 1 million Earths fit inside our star, the sun. So you pulled over, solar system, you saw, you know what? There's no KFC in this town. Let me go further. I want to go to the next dorpi to find my KFC. How far do you think you need to travel from our town, our dorpi, to the next town? Let's see. So you've got the sun here. They are all the different planets. You have to go from our town to the next star. The next star, the closest star to us after the sun, for a prize, for a prize. Who knows what the name of that star is? Hands up. Yes. Alpha Centauri. That's the name of the closest star to our solar system. So you're going down the highway. You saw solar system, there's the sun, there's the earth. You don't, this place is very small. You don't want to stay there. You pull out and you see on the GPS, the closest place is called Alpha Centauri. That's the next star. How long will it take for you to drive there? Let's see. Alright? To explain this. If you were to, you want to go from our solar system to Alpha Centauri, how long will it take you? Well, let's put it this way. The fastest thing, what's the fastest thing in the universe? A Ferrari? A what? Okay, that's a very good answer, Burak. That's a very, very good answer. Right? Burak travels at the speed of light. So, in science, what is the fastest thing that we have? Not a plane, not a rocket. What is it? Not a jet. Light. Light is the fastest thing in the entire universe. There's nothing that we know that goes faster than light. How fast does light go? 300,000 kilometers in 1 second. That's how fast light travels. To put you into perspective, light can go around the earth 8 times in 1 second. 8 times around the earth. That's how fast light travels. But if you were to go from here to Joburg, you could go 150 times to Joburg and back in 1 second. Do you understand how fast is light? Very fast. Yes? Light speed. Nothing faster than light. Now we say, okay, you want to go to your KFC, it's Bukka time. You at the sun and you say, I want to go to Alpha Centauri. Here's your car, it goes at the speed of light. It's going at 300,000 kilometers per second. At that speed, it will still take you 5 years. At that speed, it will take you 5 years to get to the next town on this highway. The distance between our solar system to our neighbor, remember, that's our neighbor. That's the person you go to when you want to borrow some sugar. That's the neighbor. He's 5 years away at the speed of light. That's the distance. You're beginning to understand when Allah, when we speak about space, we mean it's a huge. Let's move on. Now the sun is a star. Yes? Alpha Centauri is a star. And when we look up at the sky at night, we see countless stars. Has anyone tried to count the stars? We all try and then we eventually give up, right? All those places, all those stars are stars like the sun. And what do we think? Do we think our sun is one of the biggest stars, smaller stars? Is Alpha Centauri one of... How do we understand these stars? And what else is out there? Let's talk about some of the other stars. So now you are, again, your GPS. You're sitting, you're looking. Okay, I'm at this place called solar system. There's a star called the other sun. There's this tiny little planet with people on that are fighting and killing each other for no reason. It's called the Earth. I don't want to stay here. Let me go to the next closest star, Alpha Centauri. How long will it take me to get there? 5 years at the speed of light. He then looks on his GPS and he says, well, what other stars are out there? Let's look at some of the stars out there in the sky. Yeah, let's play a video. So you think this, how big is the sun again? How many Earths fit in the sun? 1 million Earths fit in the sun. Now, is that big or small?
Big.
Some say, oh, that's not so big. I've seen bigger. The sun is quite big. But let's compare the sun to some of the other stars in the sky. Let's look at how big this sun is compared to those dots that you see in the sky. Let's compare it. Okay, you ready? I see the technology is always the hiccup. Any questions along while we get the video to work? Any questions? No questions? Yes? You just put your hand up. It's like, okay, no questions. Right? Not working. Okay. Our video is not working. That's quite sad. But inshallah, let's see what we can do. Hey? So what this video is going to show you, it's going to take the sun compared to other stars, and you're going to look at the size. If 1 million Earths fit in the sun, how does the sun compare to other stars in the sky? And then you're going to begin to understand the size of these other planets and these stars out there. Nothing. Okay. How's the energy level? Still okay? Still at 110%, 120%? Or is it getting a bit low? 75% already. The journey hasn't begun yet. Remember, you need to go from the lowest sama to above the arsh. You haven't even started. We're still going to our neighbor next door. 5 years. All right? It's still far before we get to that KFC. It's very nice to see so many youth sheikh in the masjid, and people usually after dhuhr on a Saturday to stay for a lecture like this. Alhamdulillah, it's a great pleasure. And as we said, we look at the stars and the planets and it amazes us. But at the end of the day, this is to grant us more khushu in our salah. That when you look at these planets and these stars, you remember, Subhanallah, I'm standing before the maker of all these things. The one who controls all these things.
So for us, how's things going?
Wait, others, we're going to have to just skip the video. Okay. And then let's move on. Okay, let's give another 1 minute to... Any questions? Let's see. Yes. Yes. So, I don't know if it's 5 centimeters, but you know, if you want to win a Nobel Prize, you find an alien, right? And how do you find aliens? Do you know how the, if you work for a place called, you work for NASA, not Puta NASA, NASA, right? You, they're looking for aliens. All the other people out there. And how do you find, how do you look for life? Do you know how they look for life? How do they do it? A telescope, but they're looking for, where do you point? You're going to see the sky is so big. You don't even know where to point the telescope. They're looking for what they call the Goldilocks zone. We all know the story of Goldilocks. She didn't eat the porridge because it was too hot or it was too cold. Which one did she eat? The one that was? Just right. So we are looking for, today our scientists, our astronomers, are looking for a planet which isn't too hot, it's not too cold, it's just right. They call it the Goldilocks zone. I'm not making this up. NASA says we are looking for a planet in the Goldilocks zone. And what that means is the planet, if it's too close to the star is very bright and hot, what's going to happen to the water? If it's too hot, what happens to water? It'll boil. And if it's too far away from the star, what's going to happen? It's going to freeze. So they're looking for planets that are in a very... And the Goldilocks zone is very small. They're looking for planets like Earth that are not too close, not too far from the star, so that there could be liquid water. Not frozen water, not boiling water, liquid water. And when you have liquid water, as the Quran says, that everything Allah created from water. Alhamdulillah. So let's play the video. Remember what this video is going to show you. This video is a very, it's an amazing video. It's an amazing video. This video is going to show you the sun compared to other little the stars you see in the sky, those same dots. Let's compare them if they sat next to one another. Bismillah. So we compare the moon. We start off with the moon. The moon is 3.5 kilometers in diameter. Right? That's not so big. Sorry, 3,500 kilometers, Afwan. Mercury is what? It's a planet next to us. That's another moon on Jupiter. All right, so these are all. Mars, about 7,000 kilometers in diameter. Venus and the Earth are about the same size. That's the Earth, 13,000 kilometers wide. Our Earth compared to another planet. Let's look at some of our neighbors. This is Neptune. The Earth is where? 13,000? 50,000 kilometers. 51,000 kilometers is Uranus. Saturn, 123,000 kilometers in diameter. This is a very small star. One of the smaller stars that we found. And Jupiter is the biggest planet in our neighborhood. But that's nothing compared to some of the other, and nothing compared to stars. Maybe if we pause there, can you pause? There's the Earth. That dot there is the Earth compared to the other planets. And now we're going to compare stars. Stars are much bigger than planets. Let's look at our sun. Our planet was 13,000 kilometers. The sun is 1.4 million kilometers. Sirius, the brightest star in the sky, mentioned in the Quran, Ash-Shu'ara. Surah Ash-Shu'ara. These are other stars that you see in the sky. Look at our sun. How small it is. It's gone. Wide. Antares, 1.2 billion kilometers wide. Betelgeuse. Pause a second. Just pause. This star, you can actually see it tonight. Have you, if you look up at the sky, do all of you know Orion's belt? You haven't seen it? Have you seen Orion's belt? Orion, it will look like three stars next to one another. So you will, how, if you look up at the sky and it's clear, inshallah, you will see three stars, and then there'll be four stars like a H. Right? There'll be four stars on top and three. So they call it Orion's belt. Orion is a hunter. So he's got a star here on his shoulder, a star here on his other shoulder, the two stars for his knees, and you've got three stars here for his belt. One of those stars will be red. The one on the shoulder is red. That's the star. It's a little dot. You'll see it in the sky, inshallah. One of the biggest stars that we've discovered. But there's way bigger. VY Canis Majoris. 2 billion kilometers in diameter. And this, the biggest star we discovered for now, UY Scuti. UY Scuti, biggest star that we've discovered, 2.5 billion kilometers in diameter. How big is the sun? 1.4 million. This is a billion with a B. How big is that compared to the sun, really? Let's go to the... let's pause this. Wait, we'll go do the universe later. Let's go back to our presentation. So these are just dots in the sky. These stars are dots in the sky. And if we were to compare that to our sun, right? That's our sun. Move on. That's our sun, which has 1 million Earths compared to UY Scuti. Right? Go on. You could fit 6 billion suns in UY Scuti. 6 billion suns in this one star. 1 million Earths in the sun. 6 billion suns in this star, UY Scuti. And when you look, you know, it's as big as it is, it's so far, we can't even see it. Those dots you see in the sky are massive, way bigger than our Earth. Again, if you were going at the speed, just to make you understand the size of this guy, that if you were going at the speed of light, it would take you 8 hours to go around the star one time. Light takes 8 hours to go around this one star. Okay? But now you begin to think, we said we are on a highway searching for KFC. Right? We've passed one place called solar system. It has a star called the sun. Down the road, 5 years away, is another star called Alpha Centauri. You look on the map, you see the biggest star in the neighborhood is called UY Scuti. Now stars, they live together in a neighborhood. Stars, now we're moving further and further out. Now we're going further and further up. Stars, they live together in a thing called a galaxy, a family of stars. The sun, Alpha Centauri, Betelgeuse, UY Scuti, they're all stars in a neighborhood of stars. The biggest one being UY Scuti. Our neighborhood of stars, what do we call it? What is the name of our galaxy? The Milky Way galaxy. Okay? Let's move on. Please move on. Right, let's compare stars to galaxies. And this shows you, if we go further and further out, what are we going to see? So our galaxy, as I said, the stars, and I want you now to change your perspective now. Now think of the galaxy as a city. All right? And between cities there are, you know, you have to drive from one city to the next. Every galaxy is a city now. Now we change your mind. Every galaxy is a city. And every building in that galaxy is a star. Our city, our galaxy is called what? Milky Way. That's the name of our city. We've got a building in that galaxy called the sun. The biggest building in town is called UY Scuti. Let's look at the other cities out there. Okay? Right. If the stars were buildings And the towns, they were, would be the galaxy. Our galaxy is called the Milky Way galaxy. How many stars, like the sun, is in our galaxy? How many suns are there in our galaxy? 300 billion. Again, if you are on that GPS, you have 300 billion towns, 300 billion suns, 300 billion UI scooties to get to. Are you guys with, or your mind stopped working now? What percent are you on now? 20%, minus 20%. Pause for a second. Again, close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Close your eyes. Picture a city with buildings in it. Okay? We live in one building. Let's say called the sun. That's one building. The building next door, Alpha Centauri. We can see the CBD. There's a massive building called UI Scooty. If we go and we look at all the buildings, there are 300 billion buildings. So picture like 300 billion buildings in this city. Now, open your eyes. That city is called Milky Way. And if you want to drive from one part of our city, our town which we live in, you wanted to go from one side of it to visit your granny on the other side of it, it will take you 100,000 years at the speed of light. This is our city. Our city which has all the stars in it. But as you know, we live in a city called Cape Town. Is Cape Town the biggest city in the world? Are there cities with bigger buildings? More buildings? Our galaxy is the same. The Milky Way, this is where you live. And you don't even live in the CBD of the city. You live in the suburbs, in the flats of the city. All these dots are stars, like the sun. 300 billion of them in our town called the Milky Way. And that's where you live. And it will take you 100,000 years to go from here to there at the speed of light. Let's go. What is the city next to our city? Right, so we've moved from our town, which is the Milky Way galaxy, to the city next door. Like if you were in Cape Town, what's the closest big city maybe? George, let's say. How long would it take for you to go from the Milky Way to the city next door? So the name of the city closest to us is called Andromeda. That's the name, Andromeda. Very nice name. Alright? And you'll see the names become a lot more boring later on. Why? Because we found so many cities and galaxies that we couldn't think of clever names, we just gave them numbers. So what's our city called? Milky Way, like the chocolate, Milky Way. I don't know, I'm just thinking of food. Right? Milky Way. Right? So our city is called the Milky Way. You picture that city, 300 billion stars. Our sun is one of them. The city next door to us is called Andromeda. And let's compare our neighbor to us. The closest galaxy to us is called Andromeda. And Andromeda is 3 times bigger than our city. Okay, how many Earths fit in the sun? 1 million. How many suns fit in UI Scooty? 6 billion. And how many stars like UI Scooty do we have in the solar, in the galaxy? 300 billion. And now this thing is 3 times bigger than us, Andromeda. And to get there, you know how far it is? To get from one side of our galaxy to the other end is 100,000 years. This will take you 2.5 million years to go to the town next door. You'll never... Do you know, how do you look into the past? When you see the stars, you're looking in the past. Why? When we look at Andromeda now, that light took 2.5 million years to get to us. When we look at Andromeda today, we're seeing Andromeda 2.5 million years ago. We're looking at the past. There are things we see in the sky that don't exist anymore. They're long time dead, but it took the light so long to get to us, billions and billions of years. So when you look up in the sky, you're looking into the past. Even when you look at the sun, you're looking at the sun 8 minutes in the past. It took 8 minutes for the light to get there. So that's our town next door, Andromeda. So what's the next question you might have? Right? You look at these galaxies. There's you, Milky Way. And here's Andromeda next door. It will take you 2.5 million years to fly from our galaxy to the galaxy next door. How many stars in our Milky Way? 300 billion. This guy has 1,000 billion stars in there. 1,000 billion suns in this galaxy. So what's the next question you're going to ask me? How many galaxies are there? Yes? The Milky Way is one galaxy. Andromeda is another galaxy. What other galaxies do we have out there? And what's the biggest galaxy? Let's see what the biggest galaxy is. The biggest galaxy is IC 1101. It's not so interesting name anymore. It's not like Andromeda, Milky Way. Why? Because there's so many of them, we can't give interesting names anymore. How big is this galaxy? 100 times bigger than Andromeda. It will take you 6 million years at the speed of light to go from one side of this galaxy to the other side. 6 million years. That's how big this galaxy is. And let's look at a play a video. Look at the size. I think the technology is also at 50-40%. They're also passing very difficulty today. But let's look at the video.
Battery.
Everything is on 50% today. Right. Now, what's happening here? It's a very good video. What's happening is you're going to look at the size of the universe. No problem, we can watch the video so long. So remember, at 2, 3, 4, 5 light years, only at 5 will we begin to see our other stars. So now you're going further and further up. These are all the stars in our galaxy. 300 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy. And we said our Milky Way galaxy is how big end to end? 100,000 light years. All those dots are stars like the sun, 1 million times the earth. And this is your beautiful galaxy, the Milky Way, where you live. Ahmed, Lotus River, Cape Town, South Africa, Earth, solar system, Milky Way galaxy. And that's where we live. But let's keep going further and further. We're now going to see the Andromeda galaxy, our neighbor, which is bigger than us. And more galaxies. More and more galaxies out there. These are not stars. These are galaxies of stars. These are not stars, these are galaxies of stars. Each dot there has billions and billions of suns in it. The sister says, that's basically quite a lot. Yes. Alright, let's get back to our PowerPoint. So let's remember, what is this? What's the biggest galaxy called? IC 1101. That galaxy is 100 times bigger than Andromeda. Milky Way. Let's go. Let's start again. The Earth. How many Earths in the Sun? 1 million. How many suns in UI Scooty? 6 billion. 6 billion. How many stars like UI Scooty, like the Sun in the Milky Way? 300 billion. How many stars in Andromeda? A trillion. 1,000 billion. And then IC 1101 has 100 times the size of Andromeda. I don't know the number. I don't know what number that is. It's too big. It takes you, we said, 100,000 years at the speed of light to travel from the Milky Way end to end. It will take you 300,000 years across Andromeda. It will take you 6 million years in IC 1101. If you had a friend on the other side of town, 6 million years at the speed of light. So that's the biggest galaxy that we know of. But the question we might ask, well, how many of these galaxies do we have? How many galaxies are there? Let's go. Okay, how big is the universe? And we saw a video. Let me give you an example. Let me explain to you. Hubble. Have you heard of Hubble? Who's Hubble? It's a telescope. But Hubble is named after a person called Edwin Hubble. Edwin Hubble was an astronomer. He won the Nobel Prize for discovering something which we knew 1,500 years ago. What did he discover? He discovered that the universe is expanding. And he won a Nobel Prize for that. And that's why they named the telescope after him. But the Quran said this 1,500 years ago, that we are expanding the universe. So Edwin Hubble, they named this telescope after him. And where is this telescope? Which country is this telescope in? Nowhere. It's in space. They took the telescope and they put it outside the earth so they could see more clearly. And when they took the first picture, they got a shock. They took a picture the size of your thumb. If you do that on the sky, the size of your thumb, they took a picture. And this is what they saw. The stuff at the back. With each one of those dots being galaxies. Galaxies of stars. Billions and billions of stars in these little dots. So they've said that every time, so at the moment, every year I check this, when I do this presentation, they find more and more galaxies. They say that to date, they've discovered 200 billion galaxies, each with billions and billions of stars like the sun, each a million times bigger than the earth. I know your mind now has lost track. Billions and billions of galaxies, each one having stars. To understand, so this is just one picture, 1 centimeter. If you made a square on the sky, 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter, this is all the galaxies you would see. Each one, as I said, these are not stars. What are these? Galaxies with billions of stars inside it. Right. Just on that, those billions and billions of stars and galaxies, we are still discovering more and more and more each time. And Allah, now we're going, this is as far as we know. So far the presentation, what I've given you is what we know from science. But we know, Allah says that there are 7 samawat. And there's more out there. What we've seen, you know, if you look at, there are more stars in the universe than there are sand, grains of sand on earth. We've discovered more stars in the sky than grains of sand on the earth. That's how many stars. And how big is a star? 1 million times this earth. Just one star. And we know Allah explains more. And Allah says, it is we who have constructed the heaven with might. Very powerful and big the heaven is. And we are continuously expanding it. We are making more and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. SubhanAllah. 1,500 years ago. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Sophie, how do you feel when you went through the presentation? When you looked at the numbers and all that, you felt a bit, your mind couldn't work. Allah says, so look to the heavens, look to the sky. Do you see any problems, cracks, any imperfections in the heaven? Faruji al-basara, look again. Look again. Return your vision a second time. After you study and look and look and look, what's going to happen? You're going to feel like you feel now. You will look away, humbled and tired. Look how Allah explains that feeling. You will look at the huge heavens and you think, SubhanAllah, how big is this universe? I lost track, I lost count. You will look away because your mind will become tired. Allah explains that feeling 1,500 years ago. But remember, we've got 7 heavens to go. The journey only has begun. I hope you've took your path course with, because we're still looking for our KFC. The stars that we see in the sky, the galaxies, is that part of Sama number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? What part of it do we think? How do we know? The brother says it's the first Sama, and it's correct because Allah says, "Walaqad zayyana as-samaa'a ad-dunya bi masabih." that we put in the lowest, smallest sama, stars. So all the galaxies of stars that we've discovered, the billions and billions of stars, that's part of sama number one, the lowest, smallest one. Question, is that a question, Leather Brother? Or are you stretching? Oh, just stretching, okay. Right? So all of that is sama number one. If you want to go to sama number two, you need to pass all these things. And now we're going to inter-sama travel, between samas. Allah says He created سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ تِبَاقًا, layers, one sama above the other. So let's keep going. Do you still want to go, or you خلاص, that's enough? I don't want to go further. You want to keep going? What else is above our first sama? So in the first sama, we know there are planets and stars, galaxies, all the things we see and learn, it's part of sama number one. What's in the next sama? And the others above that. Before we get to that, what do you think about life? Do you think, when you look at the size of the universe, do you feel that there are aliens out there? What do you think? What does the Quran say? Let's see if the, is the ayah there? Look at this ayah. It's a very interesting ayah. Allah says, amongst His signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth and all the living creatures He has scattered throughout them. Allah says that He put life throughout the heavens and the earth. Throughout. وَبَثَ مِن دَابَةٍ دَابَةٍ, like animals. So there are animals out there in the heavens. Throughout there, there are aliens. There are aliens, but it might be very difficult to find them. And one brother asked, you know, so Sheikh, must we give them da'wah? And are they going to come to Hajj? And one Sheikh said, I don't care about all those questions. I just want to know, can we get married to them? Is that permissible? That's the only thing I'm concerned about. What do you think they're all doing? What do you think the job and function is of all these things? The same job and function of you and me and the sun, which is to worship Allah. The sun is a Muslim. What is a Muslim? A Muslim is something which submits to Allah. It obeys the command of Allah. Allah's command for the sun is to do what? Rise and set. The moon must move, the earth must move, the wind, everything submits to Allah. While Allah says, imagine Allah says in Surah Ar-Rahman, وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرُ يَسْجُدَانِ, that the stars and the trees make sujood for Allah. These billions and billions of stars, they make sujood for Allah. Everything in the universe is a Muslim. It obeys Allah, except insan and jinn, where we can choose, that we know of. Subhanallah. Everything else makes sujood to Allah. Let's move. Now let's go from one sama. Now we go back to the Isra al Mi'raj. Let's go back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to leave Palestine and go up to the seventh heaven and beyond. He would go up and he would pass the earth, the moon, the sun, the planets, the stars, and he would go to sama number two. Now how big is sama number one compared to sama number two? In a hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if you compare our dunya, our sama, to the next sama, our sama is like a ring thrown in the desert, where we are the ring and the desert is the next sama. So we are tiny compared to the next sama. Let's go. How do you travel? Now, one of you should be very clever and say, well, if light takes how many billions of years to go from one side of the universe to the next, how did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Jibreel go up these samawat? How do you travel? Even light is too slow, yes? Even light takes you 5 years to go to the neighbor. So how do you travel in the samawat? You need a shortcut. And Allah says in Surah Al-Ma'arij, مِنَ اللَّهِ ذِي الْمَعَارِجِ, to Allah, from Allah, He owns shortcuts through the sky. There are shortcuts that the angels and the ruh meaning Jibreel, will ascend to Him during a day the extent of 50,000 years, that even the angels can't fly up and down, it's too big. Even Burak can't go up and down, it's too big. You need a shortcut. And those shortcuts are called the Ma'arij. There's a surah in the Quran after Surah Tabarak, وَلِلَّهِ ذِي الْمَعَارِجِ. So, a mi'raj, it means literally it's a lift. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Jibreel got onto a lift, and that lift took them up. So what did they see as they went up? And let's keep going. All of them. Let's put all the Anbiya on. And this, for this part, you already know in your Mi'raj. This is where your Mi'raj talks usually begin. That when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left this Sama and he crossed over to the second Sama, he met Nabi Adam. And then in the second, he went to the third, he met Nabi Isa and Nabi Yahya and so forth, Nabi Yusuf, Nabi Idris, Nabi Harun, Nabi Musa, Nabi Ibrahim. The Anbiya don't live there, but they were put at each Sama to meet the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And at every Sama, what happens when you come into a new country? What must you do? Stamp your visa, go for immigration. And every Sama has got this immigration. Where you have to go, the angels will ask. And the angels ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Jibreel, do you have permission to come through from one Sama to the next? Jibreel said, yes, we've got visas. And they went across and they went through. And each Sama, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met the different Anbiya. For different reasons. Let's move on. And we don't know what is in Sama. If you just go a little back, we don't know. In Sama number one, this is where we live. We know about the stars and the planets. But in Sama number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we don't know what's there. Nabi Sallam didn't tell us. But in Sama number 7, Nabi Sallam saw a few things. And some of the things he saw, let's talk about some of them quickly. Nabi Sallam saw a place called Baytil Ma'mur. And this is a place mentioned in the Quran. Baytil Ma'mur, what is it? It is the haram of the angels. So like we have a Kaaba and a Makkah here on earth, the angels also have a Makkah where they go and they make Hajj and they make Tawaf and they make Sujood. And this Masjid, Baytul Ma'mur, it's a Masjid, the Prophet ﷺ says that if the Baytul Ma'mur were to collapse, it is directly in line with the Kaaba. It will fall on top of Makkah. And every day, 70,000 angels can go there for one day in their life. They can visit one day, make Salah, and they can never come again. So don't feel so bad. Even the angels have a sauk and quotas and those things. Even the angels have that. They can only go one day in their life, in their whole life, one day. And they never come back. But you know what is amazing about Baytul Ma'mur? When Nabi Sallam saw Baytul Ma'mur, he saw Nabi Ibrahim there. Nabi Ibrahim was put there to meet him. And Nabi Ibrahim was like relaxing, like sitting like back. Just relaxing. Now the angels, when they come there, they've got one day. They need to do all the ibadat and they must leave. Nabi Ibrahim has like a lifetime pass in Baytul Ma'mur. He can be there as long as he wants. Why? Why does he have access to the haram of the samawat? Because he built the Kaaba in the dunya. So Allah gives him that blessing. Let's move on. Nabi SAW also met Malik. And who is Malik? The guardian of Jahannam. So Jahannam has an angel in charge of Jahannam. He's called Malik. And he's mentioned in the Quran. وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكَ. The people of Jahannam, every day they will cry, O Malik, O Malik. What do you want? Malik will ask them. They will tell, the people of Jahannam will say, O Malik, ask Allah to destroy us. Just destroy us. We don't want to go to Jannah. Just end this punishment. And Malik will say, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. No, you're going to stay here forever. Allah protect us. So this is Malik. Malik is in charge of Jahannam. And he left Jahannam to come and meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the seventh Sama. And when he met Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Malik gave salams to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Jibreel told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is Malik, the warden, the angel in charge of Jahannam, give him salams. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave salam to Malik, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Jibreel, like, what's wrong with this guy? He's not smiling at me. That whenever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met the angels along the way, all the angels, when they met him, they said, Assalamu Alaikum, welcome. We were looking forward to meet you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he met the Anbiya, Nabi Adam, Isa, Musa, Ibrahim, they were all happy to see him. But Malik is like, Salam. Alright? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what's wrong with Malik? Jibreel said, you know, Malik, Allah created him like this, that he cannot smile. He doesn't have the ability to feel happiness, kindness and smiling. That's who Malik is. But if he could smile, he would smile for you. But Malik can't smile. So let us never meet this angel, Malik. Ameen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also saw Jibreel in his true form. So this whole journey, Jibreel was in the form of a man. As Nabi Sallam went up from Sama number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Jibreel was in the form of a man. Now Jibreel transformed to his true structure, how he really looks as an angel. And Nabi Sallam only saw Jibreel in his true form twice. The first day he received revelation when Iqra was revealed, and this day on the Isra and the Mi'raj. So Allah says, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى, that this Quran is a revelation. عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى ذُو مِرْوَةٍ فَاسْتَوَى, the person who is teaching Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى, extremely strong, intensely powerful, mighty. ذُو مِرْوَةٍ فَاسْتَوَى, he is in perfect form. And he became in his angel form, as Allah mentions, at Sidratul Muntaha. Safi? Right? One? Right, so just as they're going up, and I want you to imagine this again. We're going up and up and up. You get to the seventh sama. You meet Nabi Ibrahim, Sidratul Muntaha, Baytul Ma'mur. You keep going up. What's at the highest level of sama number seven? The Mount Everest of sama number seven. What is right on top there is a tree. A tree called Sidratul Muntaha. The tree of the uttermost limit. Nothing goes beyond that tree. It's called Muntaha because it's the end of the line. That nothing can go beyond that tree. Above that tree, there is nothing than that. And as they went up, at the tree, Jibreel turned into an angel. And he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no one is allowed to go beyond Sidratul Muntaha. This tree is the end. When you reach the tree, that's where it stops. But you are the first creation to be given permission to go even above that tree. What is above Sidratul Muntaha? Remember, we're continuing our journey. What is above Sidratul Muntaha? Amongst the things that are above Sidratul Muntaha, and we won't go in too much depth here. Keep on, keep going. Keep going. Above Sidratul Muntaha, you have Jannah and Jahannam. The close to Sidratul Muntaha is Jannah and Jahannam. Or Jannah, at least Allah says, Jannatul Ma'wa indaha Sidratul Muntaha. The Jannah is close to Sidratul Muntaha. And we won't go, usually we go into discussing Jahannam and Jannah, but because of time, we won't talk about that, what's inside Jannah, what's inside Jahannam. We keep going up. Right? This is about Jahannam. Just one point of Jahannam. Keep going until the last slide of Jahannam. That this point. That the people, on the next slide, the people of Jahannam, what will they do? The Nabi tells us in a hadith that the people of Jahannam, when they're in there and they have nothing to look forward to, no hope, all they will do all day, all night is cry and cry and cry. May Allah protect us. And eventually they'll cry so much their tears run up and they'll begin to cry blood. They'll cry their blood out. And they will continue to cry and cry and cry until those tears and that blood is like an ocean that ships could float on. Regret and remorse. 21 days now between you and protecting yourself from this place. As tired as you feel, but to make that effort to fast, to avoid sin, to make taraweeh with the imam, protects you from this place. And then there's a place called Jannah. Let's move on. We're not going to go into too much depth. But we all know of Jannah, all the beauties, and we'll talk about the greatest blessing of Jannah. But if we keep on the journey, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on this journey, he passed Jannah and Jahannam, and he saw Jannah and he saw Jahannam. But he kept going further and further up. Now, what is above Sidratul Muntaha? What is above Sidratul Muntaha? What haven't we got to yet? What do you think? Some things we haven't reached yet. The Kursi and the Arsh. Like Ayatul Kursi, وَسِيَ كُرْسِيُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Above Sidratul Muntaha, where no one has gone except the Prophet ﷺ, is the Kursi of Allah. What's the Kursi? What's the Kursi? Okay, let me explain to you. The kings have a throne, yes? They have a chair. Where do they put their feet on? The kings. Like a little ottoman. Like a little pillow or a little ornament. Allah doesn't need chairs to sit. Allah doesn't sit on a chair and Allah doesn't relax his feet. But because he's a king, he has an arsh, a throne. And a place, the place where the kings put their feet, this is called a kursi. So Allah has a kursi and an arsh, not that he needs them. The kursi is above Sidratul Muntaha. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went past and he went past the kursi. And he said at the kursi, he heard the pen, al-qalam, the first thing Allah created, writing. That's where the pen writes the decrees. And that pen is busy writing very much now. Why? Because the night of decree is coming. in the next few weeks, or maybe even tonight or tomorrow, our decrees, your life, your death, your rizq, your Jannah or Jahannam is being written by that pen. And if you make dua and Allah accepts, Allah can change the decrees for you. It's busy right now writing. So above the Sidratul Muntaha is the Kursi. And above the Kursi is what's above the Kursi? Safi, what's above the Kursi? Is an ocean. An ocean of water. Allah says, and it is He who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And His throne was upon water. So between the Kursi and the Arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah, is an ocean of water. And then we have above that the Arsh, which is the biggest creation of Allah, the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Arsh and the size of this sama to the next is a ring in the desert. And the size of all the samawat compared to the Kursi is like a ring in the desert. And compared the Kursi to the Arsh is like that ring in the desert. So you can begin to, you lost track of how big this thing is. Now, we know, and this is where we're going to conclude inshallah, that we know that the Prophet ﷺ went on the Isra and the Mi'raj to do, what was the main thing he received? Salah. You know, when you go through this journey, does it feel like the journey is small or long? Long, right? And you feel like for me to get to Allah, if I have to go all the way, I will never get to Allah, yes? So Allah gave you and us a shortcut, a direct line. You don't have to travel all the way up through the samawat. You just say Allahu Akbar and you are straight on top, directly speaking to Allah. That's the point of the Mi'raj. To see this journey shows you how powerful is your salah. That when you raise your hands, Allah gave you a Mi'raj, a shortcut to Him, where you don't need to go through any angels or any pious people or someone to take the letter to you. You can speak directly like Allah gave in a manner which befits His majesty. Allah is not like anything else, but Allah gave you a direct line to contact Him. And that is your salah. You don't need to travel. In fact, when you're making salah, this is the journey your salah is taking every time. This is the journey your salah is taking. And the very, very last point I want to make. The greatest pleasure of Jannah, the closest you could be to Allah. And when you make salah tonight in Taraweeh, and you make book, and you break your fasting and iftar, and you make dua for me and for Sirfaraz and all of us inshallah, one thing that we make dua that we will all achieve is this thing. So we want Jannah, yes? And we say Jannah is just underneath the Arsh of Allah, the Kursi of Allah. And Jannah has levels. Jannah has many, many levels. One Jannah, and the man who gets the smallest Jannah will get 10 times the size of this heavens and the earth. The worst person of Jannah, his garden, will be 10 times the size of the heavens and the earth. What about the guy right on top? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to get the highest Jannah. What's the highest Jannah? What's it called? Firdaus, right? Firdaus. Allah says, a hadith where the Prophet says, Allah created four things with His hands in a way which befits Allah's majesty. Everything else Allah said, kun, be, and it was created. But four things Allah personally created. Nabi Adam, the pen, the arsh, and Jannatul Firdaus. The hadith even says Allah planted the trees Himself in Jannatul Firdaus. Can you imagine a Jannah that Allah Himself decorated? Now we might feel, maybe we won't get there. We make dua for it. The Prophet says, make dua for Jannatul Firdaus. But even if you don't get to live in Firdaus, you know what's amazing? And this is the point I love so much, that each and every one of us will get to visit Firdaus, this Jannah. Now you know Qiyamah will be on what day for a prize? What day is Qiyamah? Before, raise your hands. We give the sisters a chance. The sisters at the back. At the back. What day is Qiyamah? Yes, Ukhti? Qiyamah is on a Friday. That's correct. Afterwards, the people who get prizes, please come to me. After Qiyamah is on a Friday. And inshallah, after that difficult day, we will all go to Jannah. Ameen. We'll party like there's no tomorrow on Saturday, right? The biggest party we're going to have is on that Saturday. But Jannah has time. Jannah has days and weeks and months. Jannah isn't just one long day. And as we're partying Saturday and Sunday and exploring Jannah, the angels will tell us, guys, Friday has come again. And what happens on a Friday? Jumu'ah. And we have Jumu'ah here in Jannah. You say, what? Jumu'ah is then like boring. Why must I come to Jumu'ah? He says, no, this Jumu'ah you will like. Everyone in Jannah will put on their best clothing, and they will leave their homes, and they will all go to Jannatul Firdaus, the highest Jannah. And we'll come to this place, a valley, where we will sit like we're sitting now, Ameen. And I maybe close your eyes. It's one of them, you close your eyes. So now you are with your friends, your family, in your most beautiful clothes. You're in the highest place in Jannah. And the angels say, sit here on the floor. And the floor is made of musk, something beautiful, smelling nice. And you see there's this towers of made of light, a masjid made of light, where the Anbiya are standing. There's Nabi Ibrahim, there's Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we're getting ready for a Jumu'ah. And we think, who's going to give the Jumu'ah? Is Nabi Sallallahu going to give the khutbah? Is Jibreel going to give the khutbah? No. Allah Himself will descend to the people of Jannah every Friday, and He will say to me and you, how have you found my Jannah? Do you like what you see in Jannah? And we'll say, Subhanallah, yes, Ya Allah. You know, we can't explain to you how amazing Jannah is. And Allah will say to me and you, do you want more? Ask me so I can give you more things. I want to give you more. And He will say, Ya Allah, all our needs are taken care of. There's nothing more I could want. Allah will say, well, there's things you don't even know I've created. What about this? And He will show you new kinds of creations. Don't you want this? There's a new kind of fruit. There's a new kind of Qur'an. There's a new kind of whatever it might be. You say, yes, Ya Allah. Allah will say, is there anyone that wants more? Any complaints? Anyone's Jannah that's not His liking? Subhanallah, Ya Allah, nothing that I could want. Then Allah will say, now I want to give you something even better than Jannah. More than Jannah. What can be more than Jannah? What can be better than Jannah? And what is better? Allah says, I'm going to give you something that no one ever before experienced. And then Allah will remove between us and Him His veil. And we will get to see Allah directly. And when we see Allah directly, may we all be there, Ameen. We will forget all the joys of Jannah. And that will be the greatest blessing that you could receive. The greatest thing that you could receive is to see Allah directly. And that's why we fast. That's why we make salah. That's why we make tahajjud. That's why we do the taraweeh. And all of us, Ya Allah, let the time go quick so we can get to that Jumu'ah very, very quickly and we can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with these short words, it's a bit longer than maybe 15 minutes, but I hope inshallah you've learned and benefited and understand the majesty of Allah and also how close Allah really is in terms of our salah and ibadat. And if we love to be with Allah in the dunya, we will love to be with Him in the akhirah. And when Allah says, when my servant asks you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I'm close. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَعَلَى آلِهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Just one last point. I want each your email so we can give you the recording. I want you to take your phones out. This is the one lecture. You take your phones out. I want you to send an email with your email address to this. You can either send an SMS or a WhatsApp. You can put the phone number there, Safraz. Put your email address and your phone number, Safraz. You can send your email address and inshallah we'll try and send you a recording. You'll get the PowerPoint, the slides that I showed you. So there's some things of Jannah, Jahannam we didn't talk about. And also the audio, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Safraz will put it up and you can just take it down. Shukran so much for having us here. It was really an honor and a pleasure. Jazakallah khair. Shukran, Sheikh.
Jonathan Muslim says shukran to our honorable Sheikh Muhammad Ghis, and also brother Sarfaraz and the brothers are all assisting him. This is part of our Tawfan Institute. Sheikh Ghis is also the Imam of the Burhan of Masjid Buka.